We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful New York City, my man, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I'm great. And can we just cut to the chase? Can we?
Sure. As always, this is a no-nonsense kind of show.
Huge matchup tomorrow as the Concrete Kids of Northampton High School take on Easton area? Yep. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep. The Red Rovers against Concrete Kids.
Who's going to take it?
I got to go with my hometown Concrete Kids.
You know. Okay. Lock of the week?
No, not lock. not lock of the week, but...
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay. That's
my high school actually has a decent football team this year.
Same.
I was just aware of this recently.
I sent you a link indicating that they've only lost once.
Yeah.
Maybe they're undefeated.
Yep.
And then I looked at my high school. They've lost a couple times. But apparently the starting receivers in my high school are going to LSU in Oregon, which is apparently not the case for the Concrete Kids.
No.
That's okay. That's okay because it's week 10. And I think we've got a lot to talk about that will justify feeling good about Northampton because there's a lot to feel not so great about.
This is true, but before we even get there, we have breaking news. Legit breaking news, Dan.
Notre Dame tackled somebody in the open field that's wearing maize and blue. No? Still no?
Nope, still no. Okay. The answer is still no. We had some news yesterday, which made a bunch of waves, especially in the college football world.
Right.
The NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously to, quote, immediately consider updates to relevant bylaws and policies for the 21st century regarding athletes' name and image rights. So as you know, right now, you sign up to play college football, college basketball, college whatever, you're not allowed to retain your image rights per current NCAA rules.
Right.
They're apparently now committed to looking at that, exploring what possibilities may be out there. This doesn't change anything, perhaps, other than the public face of the NCAA and how they feel about their existing rules around amateurism. They said that any new rules should be implemented by January 2021. If they decide to change something, it would probably happen at some point next year. I'm not going to read through the 8 or so bullet points, the framework that they've defined for how these rules, these changes need to be implemented. But suffice to say, this is in response to legislation that was passed in California and Florida. I think that's forcing the NCAA's hand. And as it relates to us, obviously that could be a pretty big deal in the college football world. I've got a million and one questions about how you would govern something like this. But deep down, all I really care about is the NCAA video game series, because this could this could really mean that NCAA is coming back at some point.
Yeah, the those tiny little words at the end, though, that fits within the collegiate model, are doing a lot of work.
I know.
They're doing a lot of work. And all I can tell you is, Ty, you just tell me the level of excitement you would have felt is if you mustered the courage in, I don't know, 10th grade, you're 16 years old or something, and there's Karen or Melissa or Sheila. You've had a crush on her. She's funny. She's charming. She's beautiful. You finally muster the courage to ask her to the big dance, to homecoming.
Right.
And she says, you know what? I'm willing to explore the possibility, but yeah, I cannot commit to anything right now. You wouldn't necessarily think, all right, I have a date. This is the dream. So all I'm saying is, I hate to be the slow your roll kind of dude, but at this point, we kind of have to slow our roll, because the possibility.
We got to slow the roll. It's not a done deal. It's not a slam dunk.
By the way, that's a big win for me. If somebody like that said, I'll explore the possibility.
Oh, I take that as for a me yes, too.
Absolutely.
For me too. Life is a matter of perspective. But just the fact that they felt the need to put this out there,
sure,
I think means they're feeling the heat. They didn't have to do this.
They're buying themselves some time.
It reminds me at least a little bit of when the NCAA and college football couldn't do the playoff. It was logistically impossible until it absolutely wasn't.
Right.
And then suddenly it happened in a matter of weeks. So
how do we get our cut, though?
How do we get the cut? They will certainly figure that part out. There was actually other news earlier this week about the NFLPA joining forces with the National College Players Association, the NCPA, to try and explore what this could look like, right?
Seems more important, because Madden obviously negotiates with the NFL Players Association because they advocate on behalf of the players. It's the union. And so they get them their name and image money from things like Madden. And currently, whether it's the college association, but there's no body that advocates for players with something like a video game for name, image, and likeness right now for current players in this way. So that seems pretty large.
I would think this is just as significant, though maybe didn't grab as many of the headlines. They will, quote, explore opportunities for college athletes in merchandise, gaming, licensed products, i.e. NFLPA, NCPA are going to work together to hash some of this stuff out.
Yeah.
And that's meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
That's all I have in the way of news, but we don't play that breaking news hit for anything, do we?
No, we do not. I don't think there's anything else that is not within the context of these games or within teams we're going to talk about. So if you'd like to, we can move forward. I would remind people that even when you're done listening to the show, if you haven't yet listened to the Twos Cruise, our big picture show that comes out first thing, I think like 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, give that a listen. This week was particularly fun. We do it every week. So if you want a little bit more than just previews and recaps, we do that big picture Twos Cruise, nautically themed.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never have anticipated the feedback, the positive feedback, which is new to us, especially me, but the positive feedback that centering an entire college football podcast episode every week around water and things that go in and above and have to do with it, I could not have imagined the positive response. So I'm glad that we have similarly strange listeners. Yay.
You would not believe the availability of email out on the open seas, because we are getting messages from people who are out there.
Yes.
They are out there and they are messaging us. So we appreciate that. Yes, please do listen to the Twos Cruise. If you like the show while you're at it, just subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Going out to Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Pocket Casts. I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing 1,000 of them, but subscribe to the show. You'll get all 3 episodes we do each and every week. Also, and I'm not going to play the breaking news hit. Also, if you want to call the Reverb line, you can do so at 408 Verbal One. That's 408-837-2251. Or now we have another option.
Oh.
We have another option. I talked to our boy Ryan, who cuts these up.
You just call him.
Well, I'm sure he'd be open to that. But
yeah,
There is a voice memo option on most modern cell phones.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
We've set up a email, thereverbline@gmail.com.
We're going to test it out.
Going to test it out and see what happens. Now, here is the caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't send in a 5-minute message.
Yeah, we get 30 seconds or less.
We get hundreds of these. I'm not kidding. Yeah. Hundreds upon hundreds of messages each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
If you send something in, that's 5 minutes long. If you send something in, that's 1 minute long. I will instruct him to not listen to it. And I say that lovingly because I treasure each and every message we get. But there's just not enough time early on a Sunday morning to go through all these. It's got to be concise.
Unless you're out to sea and have literally nobody to speak with about your satellite phone streaming games, we will allow that.
In that case, also post it to the subreddit. Lots of people will talk
about
it. But please try to keep it as concise as possible. One more time, that email address is thereverbline@gmail.com. If it goes well, maybe we'll change the email. I don't know. But
I want to get to the subreddit, by the way, after we preview games.
After we preview games, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That is all I have for now. I think it's time that we address the elephant in the room. And that is the window of opportunity. Got a message from someone who is legitimately bothered by the window of opportunity
I
segment.
Saw this.
I cannot tell you how many times people compliment us, fine sir, when we go out on the road, do live shows, how much they appreciate the window of opportunity. We're not advising you miss any of the games in Week 10. By all means, perch yourself in front of the couch. Watch it from dusk until dawn or dawn until dusk, dependent, of course, where you are in the world. The point here is, if you have no choice, and if you have to slot something in, when should you do it? This week, it's easy. This week, it's easy. You do it early. The headliners, for my money, don't start up until around 3:30, so if you got to miss the first half of Georgia, Florida, the cocktail party, you can do so. Be back in front of your TV for the second half of that game, I think is really the money zone for you.
Yeah, we're not saying intentionally miss this if you have the choice. We're saying if you don't have the choice and you need to carve out some time, that's all.
If you got to carve out some time, I would want to make sure I'm back in time for the second half of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, which kicks off on CBS at 3:30.
Yeah, agree.
That's what you need to watch. If you need to go out later, you can do that too. If you're not into the Pac-12, I get it. I get it. Dan gets
it. I don't.
But that's the spot right there. Do we agree?
Yes, in theory, although Northwestern kicks off at 7, and so I wouldn't want to accidentally come across that.
Right, no.
That's brand fair. Of offense. So just know where Fox Sports 1 is on your dial. And maybe just plug in the numbers instead of going channel up, channel down. That's all. Just, you can never be too safe.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
All right. All that stuff's out of the way. It is week 10. It's a lighter slate this week. It's a lighter slate.
Yeah.
I flippantly referred to week 10 as skippable Saturday.
Oh.
And I realized that that was a bit disrespectful to the game that we love.
Awful.
So I've come up with a different labeling for this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about saccharin Saturday?
So too sweet. It's oozing too much sugar.
No. Saccharins, it's just enough sugar, but it's fake sugar.
Right.
So
okay.
it gives you that sweet effect that you're looking for in soda or other goods. But it's not natural. It's probably not good for you. It's just...
I'm seeing excessively sweet, though, as a definition.
Is it?
Yep. Okay. C7H5NO3S.
All I know is it's not technically unhealthy for you unless you drink like a swimming pool's worth.
Right. That's sodium saccharin, by the way. It is an artificial sweetener. But yeah, I am seeing excessively sweet.
Excessively sweet.
Right.
Hmm.
I have Save Your Season Saturday. That's what's down here on my preview. Save Your Season Saturday. Like Washington. If Washington, after losing the way they did to Oregon, after losing the way they did to Cal, they have a chance to beat Utah and in a way save their season by beating what looks to be the best team in the Pac-12.
What's the weather situation this weekend?
I'm glad you asked. Outside of Notre Dame, I looked at the games, looked at a lot of these games, and outside of the Notre Dame game, which it looks to be, looks to have a possibility of some snow showers beforehand, but I think it clears up by kickoff, it's pretty clear. You have some chill in the air across the country, but in terms of field-altering conditions, it's not terrible.
If it was going to be bad, I was going to suggest we just continue our Mike Seidel theme from the Twos Cruise.
Seidel Saturday?
Seidel Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so North Carolina State can, in a way, save their season to go to 6-1 Wake and win. That's a pretty big deal. Virginia Tech has had an up-and-down year to win at Notre Dame, I think, adds a certain amount of, I mean, saccharine sweetness. It's not fully there, but I think Florida State, with the way that they've struggled at the end of games and looked sloppy when it counted, if they're able to beat Miami after losing last year by one, close... That counts. That's a season-saving moment.
But if you save your season, isn't it excessively sweet?
Sure. I can go Saccharine Saturday, Ty. I can do that.
I think I like Saccharine Saturday better.
Okay. Then that it is.
We agree!
We agree!
3:30 CBS. It is the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It's played at a neutral site in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
It is the number 8 Georgia Bulldogs at 6-1, and it is the number 6 Florida Gators at 7-1. This line is at 6.5. Now, I realize the doc I sent you is way out of whack, Dan.
Oh, okay.
I do this frequently.
Yeah.
I've updated my notes here. It's 6.5. Opened at 6.5, went down, back up to 6.5. Georgia has won the last two games pretty easily. Last year, it was 36-17. The year before that, it was 42-7. And not to revisit the point too much, because we've been talking a lot about Florida this year, but Florida's playing with a backup quarterback, and they have ever since Felipe Franks went down against Kentucky back in week 3. To his credit, Kyle Trask has been, I think, really good, right?
Yeah, he's been okay. He's been pretty good, yes.
He's got a 67% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. With a little luck, he could probably top what Franks did in 2018, right?
Yeah, we've seen some suspect quarterbacking this year. We haven't seen that from Kyle Trask, I don't think. Above that.
This is a long-winded point. My point here is that the drop-off to Kyle Trask has been virtually non-existent. He's been okay.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I am not directly worried about him in this game because he's gone up against Auburn. He's gone up against LSU. Two good defenses. He was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My worry is that he can't do it all by himself on offense.
Sure.
If he had a reliable running game to balance out that offense, I think I'd feel better about the Gators. But as it stands now, they're not efficient on the ground. Some big plays here and there, but I don't think that's something you could count on against Georgia, which does play the run exceptionally well. Is that all fair?
I think so. They did a good job against Notre Dame. My worry is that you talk about the Florida backup quarterback. I'm worried about the Georgia backup offensive coordinator, because that's how it's felt at times watching this Georgia team. And I think Florida has a very specific advantage, and that's they have the better play callers right now. I mean, the Georgia defense has been very good, but I think the Todd Grantham and Dan Mullen advantage is pronounced. In a big game, both of these teams having a week off to fully evaluate, to fully game plan. And Florida's defense specifically has a weakness of allowing bigger plays. We saw it against LSU on the road. This is a neutral site. And Georgia doesn't generate those plays on offense, which is very strange considering the experience, considering DeAndre Swift, considering Jake Fromm. And I think Florida has a really nice shot to just play their game and take advantage of Georgia mistakes and force some punts and get out of there with a win. So I'm actually taking the Gators here to leave Jacksonville with a W. I have it about 23-17.
So you're going basically the same score as Notre Dame, Georgia.
Yeah, if that was the final, if that was therein, I feel pretty good about the Gators having that strategic advantage, decided schematic advantage. How about that?
Wow.
And I assume you have not been to Jacksonville for this game.
I have not.
That's a shame. It's a really good time. And I don't love neutral sites, but I tried grilled oysters here for the first time. Had a great time.
This strikes me as a kind of game that's low scoring with a lot of punts. And both defenses are really good. Neither team generates a lot of big plays, so This is one that's won on a few key plays, maybe with turnovers or on special teams. Maybe it's a game of field position.
Right.
If that's the case, I want the veteran quarterback. I want the guy in Jake Fromm who's been there before. I'm also going to take the team that I think has more to prove after that inexplicable loss to South Carolina. I think they're undervalued right now. So
okay.
This is the kind of game to me that's close for like 2.5 quarters, and then Georgia makes some adjustments. They pull away late. I'm not too drastically different from you. I say 27-17, Georgia wins and covers.
Wow. We disagree.
Moving on. 4 o'clock on Fox.
Yeah.
Number 9, the Utah Utes, 7-1 on the road at unranked Washington at 5-3. The line is now 3.5 in favor of the Utah Utes. Dan, first off, I feel like we need to update every time we talk about Utah. Tyler Huntley has a leg injury. He's probable against Washington. He played last week against Cal, but he's had the injury bug all year. And so it's just something to keep your eye on. My question for you, though, am I reading too much into how the Utah offense looked against Cal's defense?
I assume so, if you're saying too much, yeah.
Because Cal's offense is a nightmare without Chase Garbers, but
yeah,
that defense is still pretty good, right?
The defense is great. Defense is wonderful. So this game is in Seattle. We have Washington as a home dog. I am literally going to give them the home dog of the week right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
It's been between the Cal, Stanford, and Oregon loss. It's been a very strange year for Washington. I think they played down to both Cal and Stanford, and Oregon was tight, and they probably should have won that game. But Chris Peterson has owned Kyle Whittingham, Ty. This has not been a particularly close coaching matchup. I understand quarterbacks change. I understand it was, Jason Shelley starting the Pac-12 championship game last year. Utah scored with time to prepare. How many touchdowns in that game? New offensive coordinator this year. They scored zero. They scored zero touchdowns against Washington, a Washington defense that looks very different today. But there is something about Jimmy Lake understanding Utah's offense. He's the Washington defensive coordinator. Washington's coming off of a bye. And I don't think Utah plays the type of game, which is a lot on the ground. If you're going to beat Washington, a lot of it has to be on the ground. I don't know that I'd really trust Utah to win this game on the ground, especially since, as you mentioned, Tyler Huntley, who I actually think has proven himself to maybe be the most dangerous quarterback in the conference, but beat up, unable to step in and put some drive behind his throws into a really good secondary of Washington's. I'm going to take the dogs here, Ty. I just am. So
the literal dogs.
I have the literal dogs pulling a full-on outright upset, like 27-24 late, maybe a field goal to win it.
I have issues with both teams. My issue with Utah is that they lost their toughest road game to a decent USC team. And though they've been a buzzsaw, shouldn't you be a buzzsaw against Oregon State with no defense, ASU with no line, and Cal with no offense?
Yeah, I mean, they can't help who they play, so we can only assume that they're going to perform like that. But they've played, I don't think they've played any top 20 schools.
No.
I don't think they really haven't, and they have the opportunity to prove it. On the road against Washington is a huge statement. I like the fact that their offense appears to be improved, but we've seen this before, that their offense goes on a nice run against some down teams, and then rubber meets the road, and they struggle. So I think their offense will perform fine against Washington, and I know up front defensively Washington isn't that strong, but I think Washington is built to beat a team like Utah who does count on Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, I really went back and forth on this one. My issue with Washington is that
Washington just keeps beating Utah. That's just what has been happening. I think they're 3 out of the last 4, something like that. Twice last
Chris
year.
Peterson's 4-1 against Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah, there it is. 4 out of 5.
I don't think Washington's that good. And
I mean, there's value to saying something like that.
The defense isn't all that great. They're not suddenly going to spin up a bunch of big plays against Utah. It's not going to happen. But I honestly have no idea. I am taking the points. I'm with you. I think somebody wins 28-27. I think it's a close game.
Okay. We sort of agree.
7:30 on ABC. Huh. Huh, this is an interesting game.
It's a fun game.
Number 15, SMU at 8-0. Number 24, yeah. Memphis at 7-1. The line opened at 3, all the way up to 6 now in favor of the Memphis Tigers, Dan.
Yeah.
I am...
Lock of the week.
I am going all in on Memphis here.
I think I agree. Continue.
I think they're better on offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're better on defense. They were looking
at... Those are two extremely important things.
Extremely. They were looking ahead last week when they damn near lost to Tulsa.
Okay.
Outside of that Temple game that they lost, which they probably should have won, they've also beaten Navy, which is looking like a better and better win.
For sure.
Every advanced metric I could find has Memphis up big on SMU, way bigger than the 6-point line here. So I am going to trust the numbers. I'm going to trust my instinct. I'm going to trust my preseason thoughts when I was really high on Memphis. This is a huge game. Game day is coming to town. Obviously a night game on ABC. Give me the home team. Let's go Memphis.
Yeah, I agree. It's the second road game in a row for SMU, although they've had time to rest because that was a short week road game in which they hung on against Houston. SMU still, and speaking of haven't really played much in the way of a top schedule, TCU is not, even with the win last week against Texas, TCU is not as impressive as it usually is if you're going to take the skillet. SMU gives up too many of those chunk plays, and Memphis is particularly explosive and balanced on offense. Brady White has done a great job. Kenneth Gainwell, again, great name for a running back. He's been a great all-purpose weapon. And it sounds like big-time Mustang receiver Reggie Roberson is going to be out with a foot injury. I heard some, you know, Sonny Dykes was saying day-to-day, but then some players were saying, we're really going to miss him this week. And that is not great.
No.
Because you're going to need to score some points to beat this Memphis team. So I have it at 33-24 Memphis, and they gain control of the American West with Kenneth Gainwell.
Not bad. Not bad, Dan.
Thank you.
Not
Thanks.
Bad.
That means a lot.
All right. And 8 p.m. on Fox, we've got your defending Red Box Bowl champion, Oregon Ducks.
Somebody found a hat.
I saw that.
It's not in my mailbox yet, Ty.
Oregon is the number 7 team in the country. They're 7-1. They are on the road at USC. USC, of course, is 5-3. Mm-hmm. Line opened at 7 in favor of Oregon. It's come down to 4.5.
Yeah.
And I think I get it, but let me ask you this. Oregon edged out Wazoo last week. They needed the last second field
last
goal.
Last second, yep.
Wazoo runs the air raid. Now USC runs the air raid. Did last week's game, should last week's game tell us anything about this week's game and how you feel Oregon matches up with USC and just more broadly that style of offense?
Well, USC's receivers are better. I don't think their quarterback is as good. I don't think Keaton Slovis is as good as Anthony Gordon, at least not as of right now, as a true freshman backup thrust into to starting duty pretty quickly. USC is super beat up, especially at linebacker, on defense, at running back, they're beat up. And so I think it's going to render them somewhat one-dimensional. And, you know, Washington State almost pulled it off as a pretty one-dimensional team because they were allowing a ton on defense and they just had to throw themselves into the game. And they did. They matched Oregon and then just couldn't hold on at the end and get a stop. It could have been a letdown look-ahead sandwich after Oregon goes and beats Washington and Seattle and looking forward to taking on USC, even with an up-and-down year for SC. That's still a meaningful place to play in the Pac-12, to go to USC and have a somewhat big game. So that case is flimsy, but I get it. I am worried about this game as somebody who roots for Oregon.
Yeah.
And I'm worried specifically because of the receivers. Now, USC may have been looking ahead to this game when they almost lost to Colorado, a not so good team last week at altitude. Ty, I don't know if you want to, if you have the sound.
Yeah. Thank you.
Credit our friend Marcella for that one.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. I'm worried about that specific matchup after Wazoo was able to take advantage of Oregon, but I don't see USC as able to stop Oregon on the ground where they've really succeeded these past couple weeks. CJ Verdell goes for 250 some odd yards against Wazoo. I'm going to take the points. I think it's too many points. What did you say? It was 4.5?
4.5, yeah.
And it's for the same reason that I mentioned of not fully trusting Penn State, because it just, they don't always seem like an 11-1 team to me. And so right now, Oregon does not seem like an 11-1 team to me. And to play two air raid teams in a row with this week having the best group of receivers in the Pac-12, I think it's close or they drop this one. That's a tough, tough matchup. So, yeah, I'm taking those points.
Interesting. So remaining on USC's schedule, we've got, of course, this Oregon game.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a road game against ASU, a road game against Cal, and then a home game, quote-unquote home game, against UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
You know I've got this thing about de facto national championships. And
yeah,
USC's going to go to a bowl game. I don't know what's going to happen to Clay Helton. That remains to be seen. Maybe he gets a stay of execution because there have been some injuries. But this is the biggest game left on their schedule. And I still think this is a pretty good team. I'm agreeing with you. I'm taking the points. If I were an Oregon fan, this game would scare the hell out of me too. The difference last week, though, that I think could carry over to this week was CJ Verdell. And you mentioned he had a monster game against Washington State. You could run very well against USC.
Yeah, you can keep the USC defense on the field, on the ground, for sure.
I think Oregon may have something there, and I think that's how they should approach this game. But I could see it being kind of a shootout game.
Wow.
Yeah, I think 38-35 Oregon wins.
I believe I did see that USC at one point, I don't know if they still are, were the worst team at generating three and outs on defense.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite thing. I like a defense that knows how to get off the field. That's just me. That's just my kink.
Let me ask you a question. If you found $100 in the street, what would you do with it?
I would spend it on something stupid. I probably would eat something that I'd been meaning to eat, perhaps take a loved one.
You take the money, right? You take the money.
Yeah.
So why?
Free cash.
Why do people out there, our beloved Verballers, keep picking winners and not betting on them? You got to go to my bookie.
It's dumb. They're listening along to the show and they're saying, Dan is so dumb. Everybody knows how to pick this game.
Go to my bookie.
Put your money where your mouth is.
It's fast. It's easy. They pay you when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. We wouldn't be telling you to go out there if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this season. Do so with my bookie. You can bet on games after kickoff. If by the second half, it looks like your bet's shot, you can always go out, take the other side, try to hedge a little bit. You want to go on out to mybookie.ag. It is the premier place to bet all your favorite sports action, especially NFL and college football every week. Join now. MyBookie is going to double your first deposit. The promo code is SOLID. If you want to activate that offer, that's promo code SOLID, S-O-L-I-D. Going out, visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid, Dan.
I think you should definitely consider that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As for other college football action this week.
Yeah.
Some quickies that I want to mention. High noon. ESPN. Yeah. NC State at 4-3 against Wake Forest. They are 6-1. The line is 7.5 in favor of the Demon Deacons, Dan. Who you got?
So both are coming off a bye. NC State on the road this year includes losses to Boston College, West Virginia, and Florida State. I don't love that. NC State's pass defense is pretty good, but it's hard to build the whole plane out of a pass defense. So I believe, I don't know, I think quarterback is still up in the air right now for Wake, but I think either way, I'm going to go with the Demon Deacons, 34-21 Wake.
I'm going Demon Deacons. I'm saying 31-21. And I'm curious to see how NC State looks throwing the football. They haven't been able to pass all season, but there's an opportunity against Wake. I don't think they'll be able to cash it in. I like Wake by 10. We've got Virginia Tech at 5-2, Notre Dame at 5-2. This game is at 2:30 on NBC. Notre Dame, a 17-point favorite. I had a lot of folks during the Michigan game last Saturday night tell me that I shouldn't worry about the Notre Dame passing offense because the Hokies stink. And now, because Notre Dame's out of the playoff hunt, I'm going to tell you what I really think.
Oh, I'm ready. Oh my God, let's curl up.
I think Notre Dame wins 45-20. They win going away.
Well, they cover by a touchdown or so.
They win going away. Yeah, that's what I think.
So Virginia Tech on the road, a place they haven't been all that often. They gave up 35 to Miami and to Boston College. Both of those offensive performances against Virginia Tech's defense on the road have not aged very well for the Hokies.
Correct.
Beating Notre Dame involves some sort of combination of running the ball and defense. Yes?
Yes.
I don't think Virginia Tech can do that. I don't think they have it in them. Especially in limiting some of Notre Dame's bigger plays that generally come on the ground. So, yeah, I think it's a nice bounce back game for Notre Dame. 38-17, a 3-touchdown win for the Irish. They score a couple later on in the third, early in the fourth to really put it out of reach.
Okay, we agree. 3:30 ABC. Miami 4-4, Florida State 4-4. The game is in Tallahassee. The Noles, a 3.5-point favorite. The last five meetings of this game have been within one score.
Mm-hmm.
One score. So that line is speaking to me, Dan. It opened up at 6.5. It's come down 3 points to 3.5. I've warmed to Florida State lately. What I don't like about this game, though, is Miami's defense against this Florida State line. It just feels like there's too much of a push-pull here. There is history of this being a close game. I have no earthly idea who wins, but I am taking points.
You're taking points here. So you think it's going to be super close?
I do.
So that means you like Miami to lose very close or to win outright.
Correct.
Alex Hornibrook has played against Wisconsin. Excuse me. He's played for Wisconsin against Miami before.
Yes.
And he did super well. Murdered him. I don't know if Hornibrook is starting this game, but he performed pretty well last week. I think I'm going to take Miami, actually. And here's why. I don't know if I fully trust Florida State if this game is close. And if it's always close, this year would make it close. And what we've seen from the Noles in close affairs is not super encouraging. Not that Miami's been all that great in close games, but I don't know how you go with Florida State tight. So I'm actually going to take Miami outright, 24-21.
Yeah.
I think they match up well. If Florida State's riding Cam Akers, I like Miami up front on defense to limit him enough to win this game.
3:30 on FS1. We've got K-State at 5-2 on the road at Kansas. 3-5. When's the last time we previewed a Kansas game, huh?
Well, this is the Governor's Cup tie. This is not any old week in Kansas.
Governor's Cup in the good old Sunflower State. We've got a 6-point line here in favor of the Wildcats. Is there any chance of a letdown for K-State after the Oklahoma win?
Oh, hell yeah, Ty. Hell yeah, there's a chance. It's a letdown look ahead because Kansas State is at Texas, I believe, next week. Not that they're overlooking an in-state rivalry, Governor's Cup on the line. Kansas has been great at generating big plays, especially on the ground. Kansas State kind of sucks taking those plays away. In a letdown spot, even in a rivalry game where you have to throw out the records, Ty, right?
Always have to throw out the records, yes.
Always got to throw those records out. I have Kansas 28-27 because it's been too long since I've heard the phrase adding insult to injury. The team that just beat Oklahoma just lost to Kansas.
Yeah, buddy.
That's something I can see happening. When's this game? At 3:30, so into the evening, Eastern time, Saturday night.
I'm going to go K-State minus six, but to build on our Tuesday cruise bits from Tuesday, I like the cut of your jib here. I do.
Thank you very much.
Also at 3:30, this one on ESPN, TCU at 4-3, on the road in Stillwater, Oklahoma, against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys are a 5-3 team at this juncture.
They are.
Line opened at 5.5 in favor of the Pokes. It's come down to 3 now. You know my stance on TCU. They're dead to me. I've redacted out.
They just beat Texas.
Redacted
Max
out
Duggan
their
was
team
a warrior.
Name. The only option I'm seeing is Oklahoma State -3. So that's the direction I'm going to go.
They intercepted Sam Ehlinger 4 times.
I'm sorry. I'm only seeing one team
in
here.
A winning effort.
One team.
Potential letdown for TCU as they go out on the road. They haven't been good on the road this year, but better Oklahoma State teams have struggled too much with the Frogs because I don't think Cowboys are all that good this year. I'm going to say TCU 28-19. How about that? I don't love the Oklahoma State pass defense, so yeah, I'm rolling that way.
Give me the Pokes minus the points. And finally here, at least on my list, at 7:30, ACC Network, we've got Virginia at 5-3. We've got North Carolina at home at 4-4, having a nice year.
Mm-hmm.
This was a pick 'em. Now it's down to, 1.5. Okay, 1.5 in favor of the Tar Heels, Dan. I don't know what I think of Virginia. I've been let down by Virginia.
You want to talk it through?
Not really.
Offensively, they're a struggle.
Yeah, I don't like what I've seen from that offense. I like the fact that North Carolina is fighting hard every play. And
okay.
At home, certainly a game they've had circled for a while. I'm going to go North Carolina outright.
Yeah, I don't know if North Carolina does anything all that well, whereas at least I can say that about Virginia's defense. So I think I'm just going to roll with the thing that is done best in this game. So I'm going to go with the Hoos to win ugly. And I know they're on the road. It's in Chapel Hill, but I'm not all that confident in North Carolina to string together 4 good quarters against a good defense.
That is all I have, Dan. Are there any other games of note for you?
Yeah, well, we have West Virginia Baylor Thursday night. Snow advisory.
The snow advisory.
Cloud cover coming up to Waco.
Yeah.
Phil Snow in the Baylor defense. Light lift. I like Baylor comfortably there, coming off a bye week. We've got Michigan, Maryland. Let down, open face, look ahead for Michigan with Michigan State coming up. Probably not because of the Maryland defense and ability at the line of scrimmage. I think Michigan's 3-touchdown favorite there. Ole Miss is at Auburn. Same situation for letdown look ahead with Georgia, I believe, next week for Auburn. And Ole Miss being kind of scrappy. Boise State may be getting Hank Bachmeyer Bach. I rehearsed that all day, Ty. I rehearsed that all day against my San Jose State Spartans if you're going to that game. Mexico Bakery for an outstanding torta.
Okay.
Possibly my favorite torta in America. Houston at UCF. This seemed like it'd be more fun, but UCF is a 3-touchdown favorite here. We have a must-win, Ty. A must-win for Nebraska. For them to make a bowl game, you got to win at Purdue this week.
Yes.
Because it's this and Maryland, because they have Wisconsin and Iowa, both in Lincoln. I think Adrian Martinez is going to be back. That's the indication I saw.
Okay.
So hopefully that means a little more juice for the Huskers on
offense. Definitely, yeah.
Boston College at Syracuse, must win for BC if they want to get to a bowl game. Vandy at South Carolina, must win for the Gamecocks if they're going to get to a bowl game. And then BYU, Utah State. We've got Utah State as 3.5-point favorites in the battle for the old wagon wheel.
I love that wheel.
In the Beehive State, also because they were our seafaring school of the week, the Salisbury Seagulls are hosting Christopher Newport.
Okay.
Name of a school in Newport News, Virginia. I only mention this because I made the Salisbury Seagulls our seafaring school of the week, but it turns out Christopher Newport is way more dedicated to the nautically themed cause. The name of one of their dining halls is Regattas. The name of their student paper is The Captain's Log, because they are the Christopher Newport captains. The name of their student magazine is Currents.
Holy crap.
The first dining facility on campus was originally named Harbor Lights.
How much research did you put into this versus actually picking the games?
The pie chart is not pretty. The pie chart is not pretty. So I, of course, am locking up the Salisbury Seagulls. Did we pick locks for our other games?
I picked Memphis.
You did pick Memphis.
Yeah.
Give me Florida. Give me the Gators.
Lock of the week.
I don't mess around.
And Salisbury, of course.
And Salisbury. One more request, Ty. Could you drop that big, stanky, hot to trot, make any man's eyes pop drum and fife?
Talk about rehearsals. I know you worked on that one too, didn't you?
Was that an intentional phrasing on your part?
No.
Oh, because that's from Let's Talk About Sex.
Oh, okay.
So talk about Colgate at Georgetown.
Colgate is
Nooner.
0-3 in the Pat League. Been having a rough year.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the hornet's nest that is multi-sport field. I go G-Town here, don't I?
I think so.
Yeah.
Also, Call Your Mother bagels. Supposedly very good. Actually, no, we had them at the pizza place that didn't serve pizza.
Yeah.
Holy Cross at Lehigh.
Okay, this is the battle for top dog in the Pat League, you know.
This is a calendar circler.
Calendar circler. They're playing this one at Goodman Stadium.
Is your brother-in-law going to go?
I don't think so, no. No.
Solid wife Kate?
No.
Anybody in that family?
I would consider going.
12:30. Well, you're not missing a ton.
Holy Cross coming to town. I'm all in on Lehigh. I'm all in on Tyler Monaco. Let's go.
All right. I think I agree with you here. I can't pick with the Crusaders. That's such a dangerous place, especially where you got married. Fordham at Lafayette. So you've got the Concrete Kids taking on Easton area.
Right.
And now you have New York's one true team playing in Easton.
That's right.
I'm going Lafayette here, Ty.
I go Yetis. I go Big John Burke. You know where I stand.
Oh, do we disagree?
You know where I stand. No, we agree on this one. I'm going Yetis.
Oh, you're going Yetis. Okay. Sorry.
Both going Yetis, yeah.
There was a thread on the subreddit where people were guessing your date job.
I saw.
It was maybe the most popular thread on there. That isn't like a Q&A, we need questions thread. Was anybody close? Was anybody in the vicinity?
In the vicinity?
Yeah.
From what I saw, there was one that was sort of close, but
was it the user who said that you own a grip of Yako's location?
I mean, I can't confirm or deny, you know that, but there was one that was kind of in the same state, let's say.
Can I ask you something?
Please.
As part of your job, are you required to know how to use a handgun? Are you licensed in some way?
I can neither confirm nor deny. You know these. You know the answers to all these questions.
Does your job involve offsites at dark sites?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Is a dark site when they have like the secret interrogation in like a country that is not our country?
I will say that I have been involved with dark sites, yes.
You have been involved in dark sites?
I have.
Whoa. See, I didn't even know that.
I don't think you know what I really do.
I don't
know. Throwing that
out
there.
I don't know. How many VPNs are you behind right now?
Saccharine Saturday! It is College Football Week 10. Don't forget to give us a call at 408-VERBAL-1. It's 408-837-2251. Or if you want to try your luck by sending a voice memo in, voice recording.
Oh, yeah.
You can email that to thereverbline, all one word, at gmail.com. Please do try to keep it concise. We always do our best to put as many as we can on the reverbs, and this might be easier for some folks. So we're going to give it a shot. It is just a pilot. We may keep it going. We may not. Maybe it's a week 10 only, a Saccharine Saturday only kind of thing, but let's see how it goes.
The clarity of voice and in conveying emotion might be a little much.
We'll see how it goes. We're willing to pilot this out. Also, you heard our picks for all of week 10, Saccharine Saturday. Mm-hmm. but you can make some of your own at solidverbal.com/pick'em. That's PICKEM, solidverbal.com/pick'em if you want to get in on the fun. Invite all your friends. It's free to play. We have a smashing good time playing with you every week.
Yeah. And if you're an Oregon fan going to LA, number one, LAX is a nightmare.
Yep.
Because of, I think, Uber and Lyft, there's some sort of crazy ride-sharing cancellation. Two, let me know if you need taco recommendations. I'll get you to the good stuff.
Send him the Kogi, man. That stuff was good.
Kogi is very good.
Oh, so good.
Kogi's great.
All right, Dan. Well, that is all I have for this week 10.
Same. That's it.
Thank you, one. Thank you all for downloading the show. Don't forget, if you like the show, subscribe. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Pocket Casts. I'm forgetting many others, but subscribe to the show if you like it. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Go out to our website, solidverbal.com. And if you haven't already, please do follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as the subreddit at solidverbal.reddit.com. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildebrand. Talk to y'all on Sunday afternoon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.